So Dave, how did you even find out about this story and what made you want to write about it?
I was in Green Bay. This would have been like, I think 2012 at Lambeau Field. I was supposed to talk to Aaron Rodgers. He was having like an unbelievable MVP type year. And he had agreed to sort of walk us through what it was like when you're in the zone. But anyways, he postponed. And so I had a couple of hours to kill. And so to kill time, I went down to check out the Packers Museum. It was a place you could go. You could practice your own Lambeau leap. You could sort of look through old programs and stuff like that. On the wall of this museum was a picture of the burned out Rockwood Lodge with a caption that said something like, the Packers were on the brink of extinction and about to go bankrupt until a mysterious fire at their training facility provided them with insurance money to save the franchise. And I was like, no way. You know, it was like hair stands up on the back of your neck. It was like an open secret in Green Bay that the Packers had possibly torched their practice facility to save their franchise, but nobody outside of Green Bay knew anything about it.
Lambeau Field is sacred ground in NFL history. And its namesake, Green Bay Packers founder Curly Lambeau, is the sort of legend who seems to have always existed as a bronze statue in the Hall of Fame. But 70 years ago, Curly and the Packers were on the verge of going broke until a fire ripped through the organization's practice facility, saving the team from financial ruin. Today, what really happened in Green Bay so many years ago, and how the Packers rose from the flames that might not have been an accident? I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, April 1st. This is ESPN Daily. Dave, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I was trying to think of an analog for your presence on this program. Do you watch Curb? You're kind of like the J.B. Smoove of ESPN Daily at this point.
Wait, but he's kind of a freeloader who just lives in his...
I was thinking more of Breakout Star is what okay. I was going for. Dave Fleming is the breakout star of ESPN Daily. He's also the author of the story we've picked as today's ESPN Daily Essential, Blaze of Glory. So Dave, we're going to talk today about a fire that occurred 70 years ago, January 24th, 1950. Given that all of this happened so far back in the past, how did you even go about trying to figure out what happened?
I actually kind of love doing this stuff. So I went to the library in Green Bay and started going through day by day the microfilm of the newspaper coverage of the Packers. You know, and back then, even the Packers were covered by like six or seven daily newspapers. So it was like I had six or seven reporters on the scene every day. And I was just reading through their stuff. And the more you read and the more you research, you realize, oh my God, this franchise that everybody thinks of as sort of this mom and pop, goody two shoes, the very best of NFL purity and goodness, there's a pretty good chance that they're based on arson.
The main character in your story is Curly Lambeau. For those who don't know, can you explain who he is?
He was a unanimous choice in the initial class for the Hall of Fame. He grew up in Green Bay, went to high school at East High, played for Newt Rockne at Notre Dame, and then for 27 years became the one who built, created, coached, recruited, organized. I mean, he is the Green Bay Packers lore.
So Dave, Curly has all of this success in Green Bay. He's the father of Green Bay football. But what was the master plan that led to this mystery?
In a lot of ways, Curly was ahead of his time as a football coach, as a GM, as a sort of franchise builder. So in 1946, he had an idea to buy this abandoned lodge about 15 miles outside of Green Bay and make it their headquarters and their practice facility. Rockwood Lodge was perched on like a 100-foot limestone cliff above Green Bay, the actual bay. This was basically a cut stone mansion that had been built less than a decade earlier as a retreat for the Norbertine monks of Wisconsin. The grounds were 40 acres of woods that had like an outdoor amphitheater. It had cottages for the married players. This was sort of like European chalet style extravagance in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Curley's idea was to sort of take the Packers to a whole nother level by giving them sort of like corporate headquarters before anyone else in the NFL had even thought of doing that.
So he wanted all of the players and their families to basically be at the same facility all season long, which I have to say a lot of NFL teams would probably fantasize about doing right now.
Yeah, it was almost like Curley understood the idea of team chemistry before team chemistry even existed. The idea was that, you know, if the players hung out and their families got to know each other and they became closer off the field, that they would play harder, that they would perform better.
Well, once they built the property and got the players and their families and staffers to come, how did it go?
It was kind of a disaster from the very beginning. Curley really sort of nearly bankrupted the team purchasing it and refurbishing it so that it could host players and teams. So sort of took almost all of their, I think it was a third of their operating capital at a time when they were hemorrhaging money. And then on top of that, the players absolutely hated it because where they had to practice was literally dirt over limestone. And it destroyed the players. Like the Packers went into a huge slump the next couple of years. And a lot of the players attributed it to having to practice at Rockwood Lodge because the fields were so, it just tore up their feet and their knees and their backs. The team hated the fields so bad that they would bus back into Green Bay to practice at like a local high school field.
Curley Lambeau's big plan to build sort of a football paradise for his team was literally at a location without grass where they couldn't play football.
Yeah, it was like a layer of sod above limestone. You know, back then they practiced it was full contact for 3 hours.
Oh my God.
So the team was physically decimated by Rockwood Lodge. And then it also turns out, right, that Curley has officially gone Hollywood and has divorced his high school sweetheart and is now dating a wealthy socialite named Grace Garland. And it turns out people suspected Curley had purchased the mansion and refurbished it just to sort of make her happy.
So, okay. The team.
I just love how anytime you are either laughing or speechless, I know that I know it's a good thing.
So the team is playing at this terrible, practicing and living at this terrible facility for several years, Dave. And at the same time, they're not playing well. The Packers struggled for a couple of seasons there. They go 3-9 in 1948. Then this all comes to a head in 1949. What happens?
So the Packers are on the verge of bankruptcy, mainly because of Rockwood Lodge. And there is pressure now because of the NFL is about to merge with the All-American Football Conference. And at the time, they were looking to get rid of, in this merger, small town, unsuccessful franchises. And now the NFL is sort of eyeing them as like a great way to kind of cut one more small town franchise. They get blown out by the Chicago Bears. And Curley decides to step aside to deal with the team's financial problems. And he starts cutting players. He starts, you know, cutting staff because At this point, the Packers are destitute and they're on the verge of bankruptcy. The one consistent thing from Packers officials about this story was that whether you believe they torched Rockwood Lodge or not, the truth of the matter was the Packers were weeks away from folding and going away forever.
Until a miracle.
I think at the story we said they either needed a miracle or a match.
Coming up, how the ashes of the Rockwood Lodge led to the tradition of the Green Bay Packers.
We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
So Dave, the Packers are on the brink of disaster. The team is deep into debt. Everyone's blaming Rockwood Lodge. What happens next?
So on a windy, cold, dark Tuesday afternoon on January 24th, 1950, with the lodge practically empty and deserted during the offseason, a fire mysteriously starts and burns down the lodge in a matter of seconds because of the wind.
Was anyone in there?
Yes, actually, there was a family, Melvin and Helen Flagstad. They were the caretakers of the lodge, and they had two kids, Danny and Sandra, who were home from school because of an impending freezing rainstorm. The kids were playing in the attic when Sandra sort of stopped dead in her tracks and said, "I smell smoke." Danny went over to a attic door, opened the door, and was blown off of his feet by the flames that burst out of that door from the attic, which was already sort of engulfed in flames. So the kids collect themselves and they run down the grand staircase, you know, screaming fire, fire, fire. And they go out of the house and into the cold. And their dad, Melvin, takes a fire extinguisher and goes back up into the second floor, disappears into the smoke to try and fight the fire. And this was really one of the emotional parts of the story, is that when the family members and the kids still talk of this, you know, for a long time, they thought for sure that their dad had died in the fire. But Melvin managed to crawl through the smoke to a window on the back of the lodge, and he jumped out and ran around and was reunited with his family. And by then, the flames were 100 feet in the air. You could see them from downtown Green Bay, and a crowd of players and fans and neighbors and firefighters, who were basically twiddling their thumbs, stood and watched Rockwood Lodge burn to the ground.
Were they able to put it out at all?
Well, here's where things begin to turn a little bit. So the Rockwood Lodge bankrupted the Packers. It destroyed the players' health. And the fans really hated and resented having to go 15 or 20 miles outside of town to watch the Packers practice or interact with the Packers when they used to be able to just walk down the street and see them. So the fans hated Rockwood Lodge as well. when you read about the emergency, quote unquote, response, it was less than urgent. There were, I think, three local fire stations called, and maybe only one showed up and turned their water on. The rest of them, they just kind of got there and were like, forget it, it's hopeless.
So not long after this, Dave, it emerges that the Packers had an insurance policy on the lodge. How much was that worth?
The Packers were immediately paid off by their insurance company in an amount that was exactly what they owed to become solvent and to pay for the team to stay alive, which was a cool $50,000.
Did this raise any eyebrows?
It was an open secret in Green Bay that they did this. One of the retired team execs I talked to, and I was like, come on, they torched it. It's like, it's obvious that they torched it. And he was like, well, certainly there were a lot of rumors, but nothing was ever proven. I think everybody believes that they torched Rockwood Lodge to stay alive. And I don't think a single person in Green Bay would change a thing. There wasn't even an investigation.
Huh?
They cut the check that week. The team became solvent again. And everyone just kind of went, that worked out great.
What did the Packers claim happened?
I looked everywhere for even just somebody, even just to speculate, right? Like a fire chief or somebody to speculate what had happened. The working theory that the Packers put out was that faulty wiring had sparked and started a fire in the attic. But as I point out in the story, Rockwood Lodge was deserted at the time. So it's a little hard to imagine a surge of electricity and an empty lodge would be enough to create a spark to start a fire.
So Dave, in your investigation, decades later, what did the people you encountered or talked to, you know, who are alive back then and affiliated with the team have to say about the fire?
Well, the one player I talked to, Ken Kranz, I believe he was a running back in college. And because he was so fast, Curley converted him to a defensive back. Kranz was 90 when I spoke to him. I had reached out to his daughter to set up the interview. This is like classic Green Bay personality, but she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. He can't talk to you today, but he maybe tomorrow. And I said, oh, well, I'm sorry. Is he busy? And she's like, well, he's having heart surgery, but he could probably talk to you tomorrow. But Kranz was one of the people who I said, what happened? And he just said, they torched it. I think the biggest objection that people in Green Bay had was that there was an outsider kind of looking into this. You know, that it was like that somebody outside of Green Bay was judging them or poking around in their business because the Packers did what they had to do to keep their team alive.
Well, and they not only stayed alive, they basically thrived after all this happened, right?
Yeah. I can't remember how many years later it was that Lombardi showed up and sort of turned them back into the Packers. But yeah, you can draw a direct line from the match that lit Rockwood Lodge on fire to the insurance money that saved the franchise and kept them from being disbanded in the merger to Vince Lombardi, to Titletown, to Brett Favre, and to Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
It's all because of arson.
Aaron Rodgers, if you're listening, you owe your career to arson, apparently. Oh, man. Thank you, Dave.
My pleasure.
Coming up, why the NFL's new playoff schedule is all that. Hi, guys. Given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Here's another story I want you to know. Yesterday, the NFL's owners voted to officially expand the playoffs to 14 teams and revealed that Wildcard Weekend will now include 3 games on Saturday and 3 games on Sunday. This is, of course, a massive change, but just as interesting was the revelation that one of those Saturday games will also air on the children's cable network, Nickelodeon. With the aim of reaching a younger audience, the NFL has said they'll produce a telecast tailored for kids. So now we have questions like, will Keenan and Kel reunite in the booth? Perhaps with Clarissa being called in to explain the ball? Should Paw Patrol handle security? After the national anthem, will both sides salute your shorts? Which team is going to be brave enough to break out the wild cat dog formation? Or perhaps the double dare raid offense? If it's an Eagles game, will Coach Peterson dress as Quail Man? If it's the Bills, I hope they trade for Kenyon Drake at some point during the season, just so we get Drake and Josh under center. I could go on, but I won't. All right, one more. Hey, Darnold. But I'll just say this. I really hope there's no slime involved. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.